Experience, where we embark on a journey on discovery and pursuit of that elusive work-life harmony. I'm one of your hosts, Chad Nafusi, with my co-host, Benny Rachmanov, who's CEO of iShook. And once again today, we're diving into a topic that is crucial for modern professionals, balancing a busy schedule while striving for success. So in our quest for answers, we often explore the intersection of technology and mindfulness for personal growth. However, in this episode, we're going to move it around a little bit, and we'll be joined by a special guest, someone who's in the entertainment field, not just in the entertainment field, but who has experienced every facet of the entertainment and business world, Jonathan McFadden. So Jonathan has been an on-camera talent for decades, and Benny, this is in an industry not known for its longevity. He's been doing it, and he has founded and started acting schools and studios and coaches. So he's going to bring his wealth of experience and insight into how to achieve work-life balance while balancing many different projects, which he has done. And throughout this whole series, the iShook Experience, we've been sharing practical tips, we're going to continue to do so, and insights and stories on how to empower you in the quest for balance, because we're not just here for us, we're here for everyone to build the iShook Experience community, to interact with everyone. It's not just us talking at you, but we want to hear from you, hear what questions you have, and hear what works for you in your own work-life balance so we can benefit. So today, again, we're going to be delving into Jonathan's strategies and his experiences and those valuable lessons he has for achieving balance and focus. So join us. Just remember, again, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts and questions so we can all not just survive, but thrive. So Benny, our last episodes, I always like to recap so we don't forget the nuggets that we had. Our last episode was fantastic. We had Brandon Kinney on, who is a highly successful young entrepreneur, as our guest. And he was fascinated. He just casually drops, he runs his own marketing agency. He's in-house advisor for all these companies. And he's launching a new product next week. Like it's somebody saying, I'm going for a walk in the park with my dog. So he was working on not one, but two startups at the moment. And one is launching next week. And he met with us. He talked about how he found his own business. And then basically we encouraged everyone listening to reflect on their own work-life balance, to set the clear goals, and to contribute to different advocacy effects. So Brandon gave us that kind of experience and knowledge and shared it with us. So today, Benny, it's time we bring in our guest. We've spoken enough about him. We could bring in Jonathan McFadden. I'm just going to talk a little bit more about Jonathan, which, believe me, he loves hearing about Jonathan. It's one of his favorite topics there are. Jonathan, welcome to the iShook Experience. We need a standing ovation chat right now. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome to the live audience here.
Yes. Jonathan's not scared of a live audience. Believe me, I've seen him perform live, and he brought the house down. But Jonathan, if you don't mind, I'm going to talk about you for another 20 seconds. And I know you don't mind that. So Jonathan
pretend like I enjoy it.
Okay, there you go. Jonathan has been in the entertainment industry for years, and not just on camera, but on the business side of it as well, as an acting coach, as a talent advocate. He's done everything on both sides of the camera. I've seen it firsthand. It's awesome. It's impressive. And one thing to have that kind of success in an industry that's not known for long-lasting careers is being able to juggle a lot of different things, but still maintaining some sanity, some work-life balance. So he's a true polymath in the entertainment game. So I say we have to have him on. Not only is he entertaining, Benny, but he is going to just give us so many nuggets of wisdom on how he is able to do that, succeed, juggle everything, but still have somewhat of a life because we want to do that as well. So we're excited to have him. We're going to, Jonathan, explore your journey, your approach to work-life balance, and your tips for success in the business of show business and beyond. So welcome again, Jonathan. I'm so excited to have you with us.
Thank you. That is a lot to live up to, but I'll do my best. Not that you're wrong. All of those things are 100% correct.
yes, humbly.
What you forgot to mention is I did all that in a barren bottom market. Like we're in such a small market here. It's not like I'm in Los Angeles or New York.
That is
but,
true.
You know, it's understanding the market that you're in and how to leverage your skills to best benefit the people in that market. Anyway, continue.
Well, that's a beautiful point. So we are actually spanning the East Coast right now. Benny's in New York. I'm in North Carolina. You're in Florida. Oh. So you're not where Benny is in the business capital of the world, doing business as a CEO of iShook, where he should be. You're not in LA where entertainment is. You're actually in the Space Coast of Florida, but you're making it happen and you're doing it. So you're bringing big market ideas to a small market. So that's an interesting thing as well. As we even have discussed on this show before, it's not just about people who are looking to make 10, 20 million. It's about people who want to have a good career making solid incomes from all over the place and not having to do this. So let's get into your own entrepreneurial path, Jonathan. How did you get started? Did you get started just saying, I want to be strictly on camera, on stage, as the entertainer? How did that start?
Oh, man. So it actually started in a very stressful situation. I mean, I've always been good at performing arts, at, you know, craving and then utilizing attention. But I never thought it was something I would do as a career. But I remember I was in, was it college or high school? I guess it was college. And I already worked professionally. I just never thought, oh, this is going to be, you know, how I make my millions or whatever. I was in a math class, remedial, applied math, the easiest math class that they offer. And it was exam time. And remember Scantrons? I don't know if they even still use those. Do you remember those?
Yes.
Yeah, so they put the machine, your test in, that you circled all the bubbles and it would go.
Yeah, you have to fill in the bubbles, right? So you have to use a number two pencil for a Scantron. Well, I was the only guy in probably all of the Southeast that had a number three pencil. And so I'm like, you know, Miss Caldwell, you know, excuse me, my pencil has a three on it. You know, what do you want me to do? And she says, you know, there's a student event going on in the student center. Why don't you go over there and get a number two pencil and then come back and take your exam? I debated whether or not I would even come back, but I said, you know what? Sure, right. I'll do it. So I go. As I'm walking up to get the pencil, I'm stopped by a camera crew. And this camera crew says, hey, we're talking to students about their level of student engagement, what they like about their college experience. Would you be willing to be interviewed? And I'm like, to get out of a math test or at least take another 5 minutes before I have to walk back? Absolutely. Ask me anything you want. They said, great. Right. So how was your college experience? I was like, it's awful. I don't like it here. I'm doing this for the paper. I'm not looking to get involved. I'm not looking to be a part of student life. I'm a little bit older than everybody.
They didn't expect that.
Right, right. I said, I'm going to go to class. I'm going to do what I got to do. And then I'm going to go home. We good? And they're like, yeah, we're good. Thanks, man. So I go back to class, right? Then I get a phone call the next day that says, Jonathan, this is the producer of the TV station at this college. We can't use any of your footage, but we loved your personality and presentation. If you'd be willing, we have to redo all the videos on our website. If you'd be willing to come in and host those videos, we'll give you scholarship dollars towards your books, towards your tuition. I was like, okay, sure. After that, after a couple of years, by the time I got my degree, I was student body president.
Wow.
I was the Florida State Student Senator of the Year. And on every single video that college put out there, I had no idea that I would take that and turn it into a career that spanned more than 20 years.
Wow.
That's how I got started in this, by complaining.
Yes. Kvetching all the way to the top. That should be the name of his book, Benny. Kvetching his way to the top of the heap. I love that. So that is fascinating because there's almost something metaphysical happening there that you happen to show up. The number three pencil. Now, I don't even know that those are actually in existence. I think that just appeared there to get you outside of that film crew. And they're standing there. They're looking for people. You nail it. And that all leads to that. That's almost too many coincidences. Benny, what do you just think about that origin story? That's wild.
Well, I believe in life. Sometimes you're given your path and sometimes you have to find it. So he's one of the rare individuals, Jonathan, who has been given his path. I mean,
it goes a little bit further. I won't take up too much more time because I know you want to move on. But the producer of that particular station at the college years later moved on to work for the International Home Builders Show, which is a huge convention in Orlando or wherever it is every year, but it happened to be in Orlando one year. He called me, and this is years after graduation, said, hey, if you're interested, I remember how great you were with our videos. We need a pre-show sort of presentation live on stage done. You'll be working with a gal that you'll love. She's great. And Terry Bradshaw, you know, the football player and broadcaster. Right. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever, I'll do it. Well, that went great. The gal, her name is Tracy. She's the one that years after that brought me on to the Tamron Hall show on ABC to work on their pre-show. So all of that came from accepting those scholarship dollars during that math test.
Wow. My goodness.
You see how that's all connected?
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
And most importantly, how did you do on the exam?
You know what? To be honest with you, I passed with an A.
Oh, there you go.
But that's because I spent 2 hours. I spent 2 hours a day in the tutoring lab because math is not my thing. Unless there's a dollar sign in front of it. I got all the dollar sign questions right.
So the whole test was dollar signs.
Well, no. But I have to have context. If it's just an arbitrary number or equation or whatever, I'm not good at that. But if it's me thinking about value, which kind of leads us into the business topic. If it's me thinking about value, I'll find a way to come close to the right answer. Even if it's not the right answer, I'll come close. And luckily with Scantrons, you don't have to know the exact answer. If I come close to A, B, C, or D, right? If I come up with 27 and the closest answer is 25, I'm picking 25. And that's, I think, how I passed that test.
That works, right. All about context. So Jonathan, so you go from, this is a fascinating origin story. You go from just a random interview. So all of a sudden your mindset is going, wait, maybe I am good at this. Maybe this is something I can do. So you're now finishing college, though you have a degree, and presumably your path would have been more business oriented. At what point did you say, I'm going to go into the entertainment field more full time and really give that a go? Or did you have to hedge that a little bit with business for a while?
Well, actually, I had changed my major, I don't know, a million times. At one point, I wanted to do mortuary science. Another point, I wanted to do advertising. I really had no idea. I had already trained for performance and art and, you know, whatever, show business. I already trained at that. And it was difficult. I didn't think there was any real future in that. So I was looking to move on to something else. I guess the answer to your question is I've always desired it, but I never knew where my place in it would be until I realized I didn't have to play another character to do hosting work. I could just be myself.
Right.
And I was fine with that.
Right. And do that. Right. Certainly a better audience than mortuary sciences as well. I mean, that's a tough one to get going.
Well, you know, the decedents are cooperative. It's the families. I liked the responsibility of lessening the blow of death on the living. And my extended family owns a chain of, you know, funeral homes here in Florida, extended family. But I liked helping people on their worst day, or at least the concept of that. Because once I did get an internship for about 3 hours in a funeral home, and I said, I'm out of here.
A 3-hour internship.
Yes, that's, sir. And that's
like the SS Minnow of internships. That's
me exaggerating. It was probably an hour and a half, but I'm like, okay, thanks. I got what I needed. Yeah. And that is out of here.
Yeah. You're more of a live studio audience guy than a deceased studio audience guy, Jonathan. I know that it wasn't the response you're looking for. So I can see how that would lend there. So you go now, and now you're getting into the business, show business, and you're saying, well, I want to make this on camera. What's most interesting about you and Benny, this is one of the reasons I wanted Jonathan as a guest so much, is he hedged his bets. He wasn't saying, I'm just going on camera, but he's saying, I'm going to also, because there's ebbs and flows with this business on camera, I'm going to also start my own acting school, my own coaching services. And he does even advocate for a lot of the people in show business as well, especially in the Florida region, and working with different agents and things. So John, and then at what point did you say, oh, so you're pursuing show business and you're doing well because you were doing, I know you had different things. You worked, was it a circus or something at one point, right? You were doing, was that you? You were doing, it's not a circus, but some kind of live show.
Oh, yes. I mean, so that comes after I started the school and everything, but I did.
Oh, so this is after.
Live theatrical stunt show in Orlando.
That's what it is, not a circus. Sorry. No, okay.
But I also did that in California. I think an interesting story here is, you know, I started a theater school mostly for kids, but we started taking on adults. This is back in 2012 with a business partner. And there came a point where my business partner and I, who were, you know, we were good friends, there was a separation. a very deep and strong separation. And so I wrote to all the students, which were mostly adults. And I said, hey, look, I'm stepping out, stay connected, stay truthful. If in your acting, if you need any help, let me know, but I'm no longer going to be a part of this thing. Well, all the students that were in my classes wrote back and essentially said, we don't care where you teach. We just care that you teach. Mm. So here is a location for your classes. Here is an LLC already. They did it for me. All I had to do was name it. We're willing to raise our tuition by $100 a month. So all of my customers, my students, set up the business for me. Chad, that's the company that you and your lovely wife, Leslie, taught for me. That was started by the students. And I thought to myself, how often does that happen when your customers say, we created everything for you? I never missed a week. I taught every Sunday. I never missed a Sunday. Right. And I thought, you know, I can always do other things. I can always pursue other interests. How often does this happen? And I think that, so I think that was the right decision, but I think it happened because I've always believed that you treat people the right way, especially in this crazy business. When you treat people the right way, when you need them, they'll treat you the right way.
Right. I love that. And that philosophy obviously rings true because one, how they responded to you, two, the loyalty you've had with people, and three, I can say firsthand because Benny, I've worked with Jonathan many times, as honest as they come, and really a joy to work with and deal with, and know that you can do a handshake agreement and it works and there's never been any issues. I actually met Jonathan. My daughter was enrolled in his school, taking some courses. My daughter, who's just bat mitzvahed 2 weekends ago, she went up and gave the funniest bat mitzvah speech I ever heard, which was, I think, largely from the teaching Jonathan did. She killed. I never heard everybody laughing so hard during this. It was really fantastic. She had a whole routine going, the delivery. That was part of Jonathan's teachings, I'm sure, and how she did it. So it was cool to see that in practicality years after getting the learning. So I just want to know, so you're doing now your business end. You're doing now on camera work, which you have to be able to drop things at a dime and be on set or wherever you need to be. How do you juggle that? And how do you have any kind of work-life balance? Because in this show, we really want to explore not just surviving, but thriving. And that only comes from having a balanced life.
That is a great question. I'm listening. How do you do it?
Right. No. Right. I hear you. It's not easy.
You know, I think what it comes down to at its core is I have to make sure that I am not undervaluing myself, because that is so easy to do, especially when you're an entrepreneur or an independent contractor, when you work for yourself.
Right.
It's so easy to say, you know what? It's only, you know, a few hundred dollars less than what I wanted to make from that, but I'll just take it. It's so easy to do that because that money looks so inviting. But what I had to tell myself is it's not just about the money. The money is a lot of it. And that's not greed. That's the understanding that if I'm stressing out because I have no money, then I can't be at my best and in that moment for any of the clients, because I'm stressing out about other things. Right.
Right. So know your value. Don't undervalue yourself. That's number one, because that will also help weed out people that you don't want to deal with. And that's where you can find some time instead of just saying, taking everything, I guess.
Well, not just that. I think what he's saying also is, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, by devaluing yourself, your clients will belittle you. They will not give you the respect. When they're paying you on premium, they're like, that's a premium guy. You understand? But then I think in my world, I think there's something called too premium. Like if you make yourself too expensive, then you lost the game, because then you're not accessing nobody and no one is going to know you. But you got to figure out how to get the right number, not to devalue yourself and not to overvalue yourself.
Balance.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Balance. You have to be realistic. And I think in the, and Chad, you know this too, in the commercial talent and hosting world, they tend to pay you by the day or sometimes by the hour. Well, I'm an independent contractor. I don't charge by the day or by the hour. I charge by the project. So you've got me as long as you need me. You might as well use me, because I'm not going to adjust whatever that minimum is that I set. And I started thinking to myself, you know, how can I say this? Every talent thinks the last gig that we booked is the last gig we'll ever book. We think that's it. I'm out. I'm done.
Been a good run.
Right. I'm going to go, you know, work in an Applebee's or something, and that's going to be the rest of my life. But that's not the case. People do value what it is that we do, no matter what sort of entrepreneur you are. You do have value, and you know that, or you wouldn't have started what your business does or what it is that you do in the first place, right? We just have to believe in ourselves. And when somebody says, oh, the day rate is 125, which I don't know where this number comes from, but almost every job out there for actors and hosts, it's always like 125. I still submit. I submit all my demo reels, my materials, everything. I submit my rate sheet. I don't care what they say the job pays, because I'm an independent contractor. That's like hiring a plumber, and you talk to your plumber. You're like, hey, look, my toilet's leaky. I'll give you $45 to come over and fix it. Guess what you're going to have?
Right.
A lot of you know what on the floor for a long time. So a lot of
couple number two pencils floating around.
There you go. A lot of the jobs I book because I go through the process that I have to go through, the audition, all of that. But then when I talk to the executives or I talk to the people in charge, I just say, look, I'm willing, but here's how I operate. I've booked gigs like that. Sometimes I lose out. Sometimes I lose out. But what am I losing out on? A job that undervalues 20 plus years of experience. And that's a good thing.
Right. That's fascinating. You're right, because you don't go to a dentist and say, I need a root canal. How quickly can you do it? Or I'll pay you X amount if you can do whatever you can do in 20 minutes. You do it to get these years of experience and do it. So far, we're getting from you, treat people right, know your value. That's how you're succeeding. So let's talk about what do you do to have some kind of work-life balance? Is that even important to you? Because I know for you, the work is also enjoyable. When you're on set, you're not digging ditches. That's the dream right there. So
that question, I want to ask something, just as a side point before you, because that I think life and work balance, especially now with elections coming and a bunch of elections happening, I'm not saying you should be political. How does a person who's an entrepreneur deal with individuals that they're in front of that have different types of political backgrounds or ideas or a structure? Because I think that itself is, if you're a leader, that there's also a balance in that. I mean, because people can stress you out too with their discord or their tribalism when it comes to politics. And it becomes very heavy when you're in a political season or election season. And then that will also translate to Chad's question, I believe, that, okay, once you've balance the people you lead, how do you balance your stress from them?
That's a great question, right? Jonathan, is your answer humor and alcohol? That's how you deal with all of it? Just humor and...
I was going to say Elijah Craig bourbon, but no. What I try to do is make it very clear to myself and to the client so that we both agree what my role and responsibility is. If I exceed those expectations, then I do that on my own accord and I'm happy to do it.
Right.
And I accepted the job because I want the job, right? But right. I don't underdeliver because the expectations were very clear and I got to be involved in what those expectations were. So in talking, you know, with the political angle, I don't care about someone's politics. And you know, I've gotten flack for this and maybe I'll get it now. I welcome it. But you've seen those political ads where there's a voiceover that's like, you know, this politician believes that, but this other politician believves this thing. Which way will you go? For me, I don't
he's the voiceover. Are you the voiceover? That's
fantastic.
I'm just saying, well, whatever. But for me, I don't have to agree with the message. Right, I don't care what the message is. I'm going to read it. And if anything, you could think of it as I'm hurting that campaign because I'm charging a lot of money for that. But I don't care what the message is. I'm not here to promote them. I'm reading words on a page for money. That's what I'm doing.
Right, right. Yeah, okay.
So that's how I look into that sort of thing.
So you're in a neutral zone when you work with your clients and they're coming for acting. So if they would talk to you in politics, you would just say, "Hey, okay, how you doing?" and then just move on, right? You wouldn't be interacting with them, stressing yourself with them, because I'm trying to teach individuals, especially when they're entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. You can have your political positions, but you can't be disruptive with your clients. It's two things. And the client should not be disruptive with you. Because there's got to be a balance between my life position and the work I'm doing. So
I guess my question would be, why are we talking about politics when we got a scene to shoot?
Right.
Let's do this first. And then if you want to take me out to dinner and drinks afterwards,
exactly.
I'm happy to listen to you. But right now I'd say, let's get the prompter going. Cause you got about, you know, 4 hours, buddy. And then I'm out of here.
That's a good point. So that's what I'm trying to say to all the people watching the show. When you're running a business and you're an entrepreneur, don't waste your time on personal and political stuff. You hired the individual. You're working with the individual. Focus on the job at hand. Because I think that's a balance most people just don't get. It's like a show that we're doing about politics. If it's a show about politics, it's a show about politics. But we're talking about working, whether you're a writer, whether you are what Jonathan does, teaching, education, an actor, is an entertainer, he's an entrepreneur. He does all these things. Chad, all of us, what we're doing in the business space. There's no time for politics. So don't talk about the politics. Let's get to the job at hand. That's why I was trying to say that balance has to be also presented to people.
And if somebody has a political mindset and they keep wanting to engage you in that way, and that's, let's say, that has nothing to do with what this project or gig or whatever is, I find that common ground. You know, we're both problem solvers. Right now, I'm trying to solve your problem, which is you needed the host or you needed, you know, somebody who can communicate your message, whatever. You're solving the country's problem, which I can respect, but this is your time. Just for right now, let's focus on you.
Right.
And that's how I would handle that, right? And to take that another step further, you know, Chad, to go back to how do I balance it all? How do I juggle it all? There's something that, and I had to think about this specifically for you guys, okay? I had to really think, well, how do I make those decisions? It's not just a gut feeling. It's something that, oddly enough, I came up with very recently. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to talk to Murphy. Remember, I'm a teacher, so I have to go through all this. Murphy is, what do you call that? An acronym, one of those?
Yeah.
Mnemonic devices, something like that. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a gig based on one of these or some of these factors. Money. I wrote it down. Money, relationships, footage, fun, innovation, or enrichment. If it does not fall into one of those categories, then what am I doing? I'm not interested. So money, obviously, you know, we know what that is. Relationships. Sometimes you take a job not because it pays well. Sometimes it doesn't pay at all. Sometimes it's so low that it's insulting, but maybe you care about that person that you're doing it for, or you want to build a relationship with that company so that you can continue to do work. So would you rather have a $500 job, you know, today, now, or that's probably the wrong way to go. Would you rather have a $5,000 job today, now, and never work at that company again, or a $500 job today, but you work with them every quarter for the next 5 years or 6 years? See what I'm saying? Or every month or whatever. Remember, not a math guy. So then you've got footage. Well, maybe the money isn't great and the people are, maybe all of that stuff is kind of eh, but I want the recording of myself so I can use that to book better jobs in the future, like a demo reel.
Right.
Okay. That's huge for us. Then you've got the fun. Do I love it? I did a commercial for Sierra Space once, and you know, the money wasn't bad, but I got to actually go inside of a working model of the new space habitat, like hotel life quarters thing. And they put me on a flyby-wire system, and you can go look at the commercial. It looks like I'm floating through space. Who wouldn't do that? You know, I didn't do that for the money. I did that to fly through outer space and weightlessness.
Right.
And then you've got innovation. Is this something that I've never done before or hasn't really been attempted before? I want to be on the ground floor of that thing. You know, kind of like the Sierra Space thing again. And then the last one is enrichment. Is it giving me something intrinsically, or am I helping a group, like volunteering at a school? You know, there's no money in that, but look at the enrichment, the giving back that I can achieve with that. So it's got to fall into one of those categories, or I think my time is better spent being home or doing something else that will further my career. But I am what I do, you know, and I do what I am, and that is my personality. Whoever said, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, whoever said that is completely wrong. They're completely wrong. If you love what you do, then you're going to work harder. You're going to work harder than those 9-to-5ers. But that work builds you up. It doesn't exhaust you. It builds you up, and it motivates you, and it's worth it. Doesn't mean you don't take breaks. Of course you do, but it is work.
Yeah, that's an interesting, Benny. We haven't had someone on yet whose work was part of their balance. So this is totally new. Everybody else we've met said, well, we have my business life and then my personal and fun life. But Jonathan, what you're saying is the business aspect, how you actually are making your money, is so fulfilling that you're not needing further balance.
Right. From
that.
He's an entertained person by the work he does.
Yes.
You get the wordplay.
Yes. Entertained while entertaining. I like that. Yes.
Entertained while entertaining. And I want to add one more thing. The other reason why you would probably do a pro bono job is for connections, networking, that sometimes doing a job for someone is a networking. So you're doing a job, you're getting paid to be like in a conference for, you know, and you're doing it and you're getting exposure. So
that's
people have to think about that. Yeah.
And
that's what people have to really, really consider. I think that's the one that trumps it all, that when you have that type of opportunity, just jump on it. Don't say, so it's not about devaluing yourself. You actually are valuing yourself that you're getting more connections.
The relationship part is huge. You know how they say it's not what you know, it's who you know. They normally leave out the last bit of that, which is it's not what you know, it's who you know. And who likes you, and who trusts you. Because in our business, same with Chad's business and with this show right now, it's not like if this doesn't go well, which I hope it's going well, but it's not like if this doesn't go well, we can just do it again. You know, so in our industry, we've got to be the right person for that job when we say we're the right person, because they've got production crews and permits and you know, all of these extra expenses. Companies literally spend millions of dollars. And if you're one of two people in that commercial, you've got to be professional, be trusted, be effective, because it's not like they can just call somebody in who already knows the lines. You know, there's no understudy in the commercial world.
Right. Right.
Right. You know? It's a non-fungible product. There's only one Jonathan when you book Jonathan. You cannot just replace him with anybody else. That's who they wanted for that specific project. And that's so important that you show up. So it's interesting what you're saying too. There's value in things that don't have monetary value at first, like building relationships, but that's long-term thinking, long-term building. And it's just enjoyable too, because you said these are people that like you and presumably you like them back. So Benny, what we're seeing, Jonathan may be the first one here who's quantifying success with a happiness quotient and not just a monetary quotient or fulfilling his own desires and things. So that's interesting.
Well, it's no doubt he's passionate with his work, obviously, Jonathan. Right. And that's, again, that depends on the peoples. Not everybody will have that passion. Right. Like he was, again, not everybody's given the opportunity like he was given the opportunity. Some people have to look for themselves. And I think that's the struggle. When you're still looking for yourself at a certain age gap, right? A certain age, right? Ultimately, a person will lose himself or herself or whatever self they want to be today. They will lose it. And they will not be able to be happy with what they're doing ever because they're still looking for themselves. And that's the difference, I think, between Jonathan and me and you, Chad, and many others, that we're happy with what we're doing. We enjoy. Mm-hmm. I think the key word is enjoy what we're doing. We have real joint enjoyment of the actions, like the entertainment for Jonathan, me with the running of the company and doing projects and getting people together and ideas. Like these are all things that you know. And of course, that's what makes Jonathan run. That's his energy. That's his fuel, right? And that's what people's got to get. If you can reach, I personally believe this, a level that Jonathan has, you can succeed in anything.
Right.
Wow. Make sure we get that on the recording. You know,
yes,
Benny,
it is.
CEO of iShook.
Yes. because it's true. But if a person can enjoy what they're doing, what's to stop you from succeeding in what you're doing, except for yourself?
Or other people who are jerks. And this business is full of jerks. It really is.
Yeah,
and,
but I think today, I think today, Jonathan, I'm sorry for cutting off. Today, I just want to mention Mark Wahlberg with his exodus from California to Texas. And then you have podcasting today and you have all the things that are happening today. I think there's a huge evolution and revolution in the entertainment industry.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everything is changing on both sides, not the big major market production, but also the small market and the auditions. You know, now you can be in Florida and do a self-tape for something that's filming in Los Angeles. It's cutting through that red tape where they say, you know, local hire only. You must live in Los Angeles or in Atlanta or whatever. You must live here to do this job. And my question's always been like, okay, well, why?
Right.
You know, why? If I'm worth, let's say it's a decent check, right? Let's say it's $2,500, right? If I'm worth $2,500, are you telling me that if we were to tack on a Spirit Airlines seat and a night at the La Quinta, I'm no longer worth it?
Right.
Well, then I'm not valued. And there's a disconnect. There's an issue here.
Wait one second. Why wouldn't you be worth it at that airline? I don't get what happened right now.
That's
I don't understand what's going on. I don't get that.
But that Benny, what reaction right there.
Don't pay him for his day rate, but they won't pay him to fly there. In other words, they want him on the final product, but they won't pay him to fly there or stay at the hotel there. So they're thinking big picture, we'll give you $5,000, but we won't give you $150 for the plane ticket. So I see what Jonathan's saying is that they value you and not understand the big picture. I think that's what you're saying, at least, because It is.
Was I confusing? Was I not clear on that? I'm so sorry.
Oh no. That's fine. I got it now. But I was thinking. I thought that the commercial was for that's what I thought.
And you know, another thing, and this is something I would say to any entrepreneur, anybody, any independent contractor. You have to know, are you simply doing a job and moving on, almost like a puppet? And I don't mean that in a negative sense. I just mean you are there to do exactly what you are told to do. You will move and do and say exactly what the client says that they want you to do. Or are you there as a contributing member of that team who is solving a particular problem? If you can put yourself in that position, where you are solving the problem. It doesn't matter if you're an actor, a pastry chef, you know, a paver, a painter. It doesn't matter. If you're solving right. that problem, then there's more value on you, you know, for the client, but you also feel better because you're serving people. Business is value and it's people, for me anyway. Right. And the money is the result of valuing myself and others, solving problems, and making sure that I say, well, let me rephrase that, I do what I say I'm going to do. If I'm right. trusted, if I treat people right, and I can back up what I say, then I can command higher dollars. And you know what? The clients that tell me that they don't want that, they don't need that, or you know, they say, well, it's not up to me because I'm the producer, but the client has to make a decision. I said this yesterday, actually, in a phone call. I said, well, wait a minute. The client hired you, Mr. Producer, casting person, right? To handle the production. He said, yes. I said, and so you're letting him make the decisions. Yes. I said, well, that's like hiring a nutritionist. And then you tell the nutritionist, I'm going to eat whatever I want. Nutritionist goes, yeah, right. yeah, eat whatever you want. Well, right. What's the point?
That's not why that? They hired you.
Right. Right. So hire people who have the authority, right? And the freedom, I should say, what's the phrase that I usually use? The freedom and authority to make decisions, the autonomy, whatever. Autonomy, hire yeah. people that you know are going to be better at what it is they do than you are.
Surround yourself with what you need.
Yeah, yeah. Be that person. When I'm hired, I try to be that person that understands this is where that person, let's say, falls short, or this isn't their area of expertise. Help them. If you're an entrepreneur and you can help that person, guess who they're going to call next time they need help in that department? The guy that right. helped them, not the guy that followed all the directions. You know, right. that's how I operate. Interesting.
So your mindset, Benny, this is fascinating to me. So Jonathan's mindset is to use an example of going to, say, a casting for a project. Instead of saying, or for any business that you're looking for a job, instead of going there saying, boy, I hope I get it. I hope they want me. You're going in there with the mindset saying, they have a problem. They have a missing piece. I'm that puzzle piece. And that mindset goes, I'm the value you need. You're looking for me. I'm not looking for you. And how you flip the script on it is how you seem to attack everything. And that's Absolutely. Something anybody can learn in any field that they're doing. If you're having a job interview, you're not begging for that job. You're the solution. Be the solution.
I'm hustling enough to think to myself, I don't necessarily say this all the time, but I'm hustling enough to say, look, if this isn't a good fit and you don't want me, that's fine. But tell me now. Don't make me wait 2 weeks. Tell me now, right. because I have three other meetings and things that I could, you know, that I'll go to today and focus on that. And I remember the phrase that I use. If I give someone the responsibility, then I also give them the authority to carry out that responsibility. That's how I operate. And right. and that's true. Like when you and Leslie taught for me, I didn't mm-hmm. tell you guys what to do because then I'm changing who you are,
right.
what your process is. I'm hiring people who are better at this thing than I am. Chad, I learn from every video of you and Leslie that I've ever seen. You guys are the best hosts. That you, Leslie, and Tamron Hall, best hosts I've ever seen in my life. I'm serious. And so Thank I you. Learn something every single time I witness greatness. I guess that would be my last tip is not just be around greatness, but learn from it, take notes on it, understand what makes that person or that company or whatever great.
Well, I think there's one disconnect with the individuals that you're working with, Jonathan, is that most likely they don't have work balance in their own life and they're making faulty decisions. Like, you know, to be in control, if you hire someone and to be consistently controlling you and the producer, then why are you hiring the people? Just do it yourself if that's right. the case, right? And I think
right, but I don't do those jobs anymore.
No, that's good. That's good. I got now I understand why, because you're dealing with people who don't have work-life balance. They don't know how to balance the information or balance their sheet, so to speak, right? They don't know how to balance their mind.
I think they're just idiots, but it could be that other thing too.
Right. Yeah. That's just blatant, right? They're just idiots. I'm trying to give them a little benefit of the doubt. But ultimately, I think it's true. I think what's happening is that you have a lot of people today in Hollywood or in so-called Hollywood or film industry of people who claim they're capable of creating content and they really don't even know really how to create the content. They're just winging it. And I think that's where the failure is in most people's.
I'm speaking a little bit more towards the commercial and hosting side of things versus film and television, because they are totally separate.
Can you tell me in both spectrums, they are both capable. People who starting in those industries are they know how to make it happen? Because I know a lot of people, they try to fake it till they make it, right? You know,
I think that's any industry.
Sides. Right. That's any industry. And that's what I'm referring to. I mean, I think that's what's happening, that people are calling, people can be bothering me for certain tasks. I'm like, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
I'm not going to waste the time and resources to do this extra task or to do this extra venture. You know, I killed a lot of deals that came before me because of this balance issue where I'm not capable of balancing any more projects. I'm not capable of balancing life in general. I'm not capable of balancing my hobbies like writing and other things I like to do. And my own hobby type of projects, you know, those kind of things. So I think that in itself is important as well. If people, like whatever you just explained as an example, why, like wasting time with people is so dangerous. And you waste that time. You can't get that time back. I mean, I don't know how much you're going to learn from a person with this disrespect that they're not going to fly you first class, at least Delta, or at least, you know, that's not expensive, you know, like it's like, or even the first chair in JetBlue, they got now the new JetBlue Mint. I hope JetBlue pays me. At least give me the first behind, you know, something. Give me a little respect. But
a little extra leg room. That's all.
Sierra.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it comes down to sometimes they don't mean, it's not their intention to disrespect you. It's that they don't see the value in what not only I or that talent position does, but they don't see the value in the talent, period. So they'll fly out other members, but they won't fly out the actor.
Right.
You have to think, okay, well then what if there's another issue? How are they going to treat the actor on that side of things? And if you're not sure, you know what you do? You talk to your team, you talk to your circle. Nobody is in this alone. Nobody. Even if it's people that aren't as experienced, they don't have to be experienced in entertainment and show business to be experienced in me. So right, I can talk to friends who know me. I can talk to family. I can say, hey, what do you think I should do?
That's
know me.
Right. So talk to your circle. Yeah.
Give a case example. Chipotle is going bankrupt, right? So I saw a podcast, like a little short. Why is Chipotle going bankrupt? So Chipotle was sold by its founder, all right? They sold it out. And it ends up happening, this huge, big company takes over Chipotle, and then they sell out the leases and the buildings because Chipotle owned every building. So they sold the building to this huge real estate company. And then this real estate company starts taking, okay, now that you're Chipotle, we're going to raise your lease because they gave them new leases with high rates. So what ends up happening, Chipotle cannot produce, I'm sorry, it's not Chipotle, it's Red Lobster. Red Lobster cannot produce.
How do you mix those two? Wait a minute.
Because I eat kosher. I don't need either one. That's the reason why. So Red Lobster goes bankrupt because their leases go up. And all those franchisees who had Red Lobster, they started cutting down on the costs. And there's a rule when you're eating food. If you're a restaurant that cuts down on costs, you just lost your clientele. Right. Who wants to eat bad food or food that will make me doubt, is this food ever even good? One time I went to a restaurant and their mouse came out in the restaurant. I'm like, there's his grade A approval. Can you spit out the window?
You know, oh, like, my gosh.
Like, You got to understand, like, and that's the thing, what we said in the beginning. If you devalue an actor or any person in their profession by not flying them properly, you don't give them a $40 chair in the back, row 30. Right. I mean, given the first 10 rows, you can get away with it. But row 30, I mean, come on. That means you devalue, right. And no one wants to be devalued. I mean, that's just that's common sense. You got to give a person respect when respect is earned. You know what I mean? He is the face of your commercial or whatever it is that they were doing. And for you to be devalued, I do not, you know, that's disrespect. And that clearly shows that they had those entrepreneurs have no work-life balance at all.
But some of them are not entrepreneurs. Some of them are corporate employees where they don't, what I'm saying is they don't realize it's devaluing not just me, but any talent. They don't realize that. And most talent, a lot of entrepreneurs, like I said in the beginning, they're going to chase that dollar because they're scared that they won't get another one. So they accept this stuff. So if you're being told throughout years in your career as a corporate person that it's fine, you can just hire local talent, right? And so you, all these people accept it. They accept it. They accept it. And then there's that one voice that's like, wait a minute. No, this is what my rate is. And, you know, I ask for travel and lodging. Oh, we're local hire only. Okay, well, fine. Then my rate's going to go up $1,000. But yeah, sure, I'm a local hire now. Right. They're going to see that person as a troublemaker. Right. That person's a troublemaker, not somebody who actually is valuing what they do and cares about your product and your shoot enough to say, I know I can help. It's not about the money. It's about, I'm going to solve this problem for you and create this relationship here. Right. They don't think that way, the producer people. And I don't think I'm going to change that business, right? Internationally or nationally, or even market-wise, but I can change the way I operate within that business. And I can guide people to operate at their, let's call it, best level within their area and their business. And that's sort of how I do it. You know, that, and every now and then it's okay to turn off your phone, not check your email. And for me, play an hour or two of Marvel Snap on my cell phone. That's like my favorite game. Ever. Oh yeah. I spend hours on that. And I probably spend as much money on that app as some people, you know, make on their car payments, but it brings,
you know, what's funny, Jonathan, I just did a few spots for the Marvel in phone apps. So you'll see, you'll probably see some of them coming up.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But that's another, that's for another story until Marvel pays us. We're not plugging their apps too much. So. But yeah, we did.
Fair enough. But my point is, you got to find something that you love that isn't based on outcome,
right?
So that you do have that recharge time. It could be watching movies. It could be playing games. It could be, I also collect watches. You know, you got to have other things outside of that one main thing you do, even if you love that thing. It's even like when you're married, you love your spouse, but you might need 5 to 10 minutes a day where you just kind of recollect yourself. There's nothing wrong with that.
No doubt. I think you need more than 10 minutes for the spouse.
I'm just being polite. You guys have created such a fan in me with this show, especially after watching the one with, what was her name?
Kira. She's awesome.
Kira. And now getting to know you guys and your dynamic here. You've got a fan for life. I'm going to be tuning in. I hope you'll have me back.
Jonathan. Yeah, we'll definitely we have you back. I want to propose a few other joint ventures, maybe. I mean, if Chad allows it, you know, if Chad gives me that clear.
I would love that.
I love that. Benny, you gave Chad the responsibility and he has the authority. And, you know,
well, because there's a rule. I mean, there's a rule. I believe in certain ethical. Performance, which means what? Mm-hmm. You're not my contact, you're Chad's contact, right?
Sure.
It probably took many years for Chad to even get to know you. What right do I have to bypass Chad to get to you? I give Chad the first opportunity to say, listen, Chad, you set it up, right? That's the way it's got to be. And that's the way I would, you know, expect my company to run that way, that we respect people's contacts and resources. And it's very important. And the same with, because I want the same with me. Like, Like I have certain deals that I could easily have bypassed or undercut. No, I don't want to undercut nothing. I want blessings to be with my with my business. I don't want people cursing me as I do the business, right? Yeah. So I want the blessings.
I feel like that just kind of, you know, it kind of just goes, you know.
But it doesn't work. People don't focus on that. People don't focus on that. And then they realize why karma's a bitch for them. You know, that's the reality that they got to understand. There's ways of engaging with other people, and we're trying to create a huge team of individuals. Like we said in the beginning of the show, the pre-show, where we're trying to create our own type of event, hopefully, which will be announced for 2025. And we're going to do something that will be big in the sense that we're helping, you know, grassroots individuals who are creating content build better content and try to explain to them, especially with AI. I mean, I use maybe 30 AI apps besides iSugar.ai that we have. 30 AI apps in order to create Performa faster.
Name me 10. Yeah. Name me 10.
No, I'm not going to do that.
The only one to name you is iShook.ai.
I'll tell you why I won't. I just want to clear. Yeah. I could name them, but I don't want to name them until I don't create affiliate programs with them and until I don't get other things with them. But I will name that we are, it's going to be, the link is going to be down there in the podcast that's going to be released. I will name name.com that we're now an affiliate of name.com and I promote
name.com is what it's called, or you're not saying
name.com is what it's called. I've been using them for over 15 years. If you ever need a domain name, it's go to name.com. You know, and I'll send you the link. I'll send Chad the link to send to John so we could make some gelt, you know, but again, name.com is, for example, one of my products that I use as a website product. And the biggest thing that we're going to present, and this is going to be in the future, is how to sequence the products together. Step A, do this. Step B, do this. Step C, do this. And you save 100 hours, for example.
Right. And that's an AI type product?
Yeah. Some of them are AI. Some of them are not AI. Some of them are websites that you can save a lot of time in developing. Like, not everything AI you can rely on today, because AI is not going to create your vision of what you want it to be shown.
Oh, AI will create the truth.
I've typed in
so many of those prompts and it never comes out the way I want. Or why does that lady have 9 fingers on one hand?
No, now it already stopped. It already stopped. The AI has really gotten to higher levels now.
Has it? Not the ones I'm using. That's why I asked you to tell me 10 of them.
Oh, okay.
I think it's really interesting that a lot of entrepreneurs and businesses are using AI now. And I don't know if we even have time for that today. Maybe next time we can get into it.
Yeah, we definitely have.
I'm fascinated by people who learn how to use AI to their benefit, and they're cutting down on the waste of our greatest asset, which is our time, right? People who learn to use the technology that's out there to better serve their clients and themselves, which creates that work-life balance, right? Using something that writes for you or creates pictures for you. You know, I'm still amazed that like Canva will allow me to create a logo and put, you know, images together. Now there's AI tools where you just talk to it and it does that for you. I'm amazed by that. So I would love to know how your people
side. Let's set up another, because I definitely want to get a lot of these things out there. I'm preparing all the affiliate sales for those things. But the thing is, I would tell you one thing. There is a catch 22. AI works for individuals like us who did not grow up with technology as a life source.
Right.
What do you mean? I'll
give you an example.
Technology. I had a Super Nintendo.
No. That's not what I'm referring to. For example, when we went to school, we weren't allowed to use a calculator for mathematical equations. But now graphing calculators and calculators are allowed to be in school. It became a huge deficiency in our school system. And if you go to China and all these Asian countries, there's no calculators. There's no graphic. You got to learn old school math, right? And what's happening now with AI, yes, it's good for us because we know the knowledge. We got the knowledge with our human knowledge. And now we're using AI to do things for us faster. But when you have the kids today who have lack of comprehension and they don't understand things very well and they are really disconnected from reality, and now they're going to use AI, that's going to be AI living them their lives for them.
I see what you mean. We use it as a shortcut, not a cheat.
Exactly. Because we know how to do it without the shortcut. That's the difference. They're right, not going to know how to do it without the shortcut. And therefore, they're going to rely on that totality, which is, I think, is going to be a huge blunder in our communities and society.
In other words, right now, we are the humans feeding the AI with our knowledge, but the next generation could possibly be getting their knowledge from the AI, and it's a converse relationship that would really upend things. So
Exactly. That's why when Google came out with Gemini, formerly Bard, it came out giving wrong historical facts about Abraham Lincoln and so many of our historical facts. I mean, history needs to be done. And I'm not saying there's not different perceptions of history, but to disconnect realities of history or the perceptions that exist, that we already lost. Right. Like if you to say that never Abraham Lincoln does not exist. And there was one time a Google AdSense, there was a news that someone sent me that they asked Bard or Gemini, how many Jews died in the Holocaust? They said none.
Wow.
So all of a sudden, Bard and Gemini has become what? Holocaust deniers and genocide deniers and like what's going on here? And you know, and we don't want that type of because that's where their source. See, it all depends on what the source of the next generation's information is going to be. Our source is libraries. You go to the library, you get a good author, you read what he said. Oh, that's an author. Or you go, you get a good history book. You know, that's good. That's accepted by the majority. And you read it. Oh, that's what happened. But can you imagine
Benny,
if they wipe out
Benny,
so many?
When was the last time you stepped foot into a brick and mortar library?
Honestly, you got me. 2017. But now because everything's become worse.
Good night, folks.
No. But now everything is scanned. I read books for my information. Yeah. You got my point.
That's right.
But either way, you're right. Yeah, I haven't got the library. But if it's a virtual library, that's also fine.
Sure,
but you're
of course.
Getting to the actual writing. Listen, person who spent 20, 30 years writing a history book, he did his research or she did the research. It's not for no reason. It's not up in the air. But an AI, and by the way, this is the problem. AI doesn't have access to that data. AI has no access to the data. When ChatGPT was initially launched, AI had access to almost every author's books. And what happened was all the authors sued ChatGPT and said, what right did you have to get my material on your AI? So it stopped. So what does AI do? It gets information from freaking either Google, Bard is Google, or they take AI information from Microsoft's Bing. Come on.
That's very interesting, Benny. Yeah, it's very interesting you say that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, in the hosting world, there was this big thing for a while, and it's still going on, where companies were paying host talent. Chad, I'm sure you've seen this. They're paying host talent maybe $300-$450 to create a virtual clone, avatar, that's the word.
I was
of
asked.
Them.
Yeah, I said no.
Yeah. And so I look at that and I think, okay, AI or avatars, whatever, it's not going to replace hosting talent, because I don't care how brilliant a company or a CEO is capturing. Let's use Chad as an example. Capturing the essence of Chad is his live in the moment wit. It's the response that will actually become something you can charge a premium for. Because all the AI avatars, they're not going to be able to do it. So what happens if, let's say, there's two hosts on a gig, one of the hosts is now AI, that means Chad can charge double what he did before because they're going to need that real person. So for me, what I tell them, what I tell these companies is, I'm absolutely willing to do it. I'll do it, but I'm going to charge you my same rate as I would anything else, not just for the recording session, but any time someone downloads or selects my avatar, I get that same amount of money.
Okay, I got
it. Not
show
a full.
You this.
Oh, I'm almost there. It's not a full buyout of $350, and now I've just sold my likeness. No. I've written my own agreement, my own contract that says every time this avatar of me is used, I'm going to get another, I think my quote there was $4,500 or $5,500 every time.
Right.
And they wrote back and they said, there's no way we can do that. That's ridiculous, blah, blah. And I said, okay, well, never mind. But at least I
you want to use me every time for free. Right. You have to be paid. Yeah.
Right. I'm separating. Right. You're helping that company was helping me become a better entrepreneur, separating my time from my money. Mm. I'm all for it as long as I'm compensated fairly for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
No one's bought into that yet, but that's the way we'll do it.
I gotta share this with you guys. We can close off on this. So this is our YouTube channel. Let me just show you this video.
Chad, you look so different on YouTube.
Yes. Who?
I don't know if it's playing good enough. You guys can see it? Or is it?
I can see it. I can see it. I can't hear anything. And
okay. So bottom line is this video, I'll share you the link and anyone can look at this link, is all AI generated.
So he's AI too. Did you have to have him do AI workout to get those biceps going?
Or no, he's actually
digital muscles.
Yeah. So he's actually, so just to get this clear, he's actually, let's get back to our screen. He's actually, this guy is actually from an AI platform that I gave him a script. It started reading it and now it populates it automatically. So what Chad should do and what Jonathan is saying is 100% never short sell your likeness ever. Right. It's very important. Ever. You know what I mean? Especially
but that's not to say don't ever sell it. You should of course sell not. It, but sell
like,
it for
like for I give you right exactly. If your career is dead, like then sell it.
Right, yeah.
If a person's career is dead, then sell it because there's no other way.
And who cares?
Yeah, then who cares?
Then even if it's not, that's how you make your living. I mean, in hosting a commercial world, we make our living by selling our image and likeness. But they have a usage. There's a range of time. Or they can say complete buyout, but they have to pay for that as well.
Oh, you could just do license. See, what people are not thinking about is when you
that's
sell.
That's what a buyout is. Or, right, not that's a buyout. That's what usage is.
No, but not usage the way you said it. Because usage is like you're giving a timetable for usage. For example, there's a website that you can get a shout out from anyone and you pay for a 30-second to 2-minute shout out, right? I forgot what the company was. Kevin O'Leary is an investor in that company.
Oh, are you talking about it starts with a C, like
Cameo,
like,
is it?
Cameo.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So Cameo gives you like, and they give you like 2 weeks that you can use it, and that's it. After 2 weeks, it's done. I'm referring to the
TV commercial. No, I'm referring to the TV commercials where you can use it. You can use that person's image and likeness for 2 years. After that, you have to pay the usage fee again. But you spent $5,000 on who?
No, I didn't spend no money.
Chad, can we guess? Oh, okay. I was going to guess which celebrity.
No.
Okay. I was going to say, and Alfred Molina. That was going to be
No. I mean, we have, by the way, we don't need a celebrity. We have Daniel Baldwin. He was an executive of our company. We can always ask him to promote us in any event.
I know we have to go.
Okay, go ahead.
But how many people every day tell you that your beard is epic?
Every day. Every show I have it. You should watch Adam Susnick on the podcast today. We're doing another podcast coming soon. So you should watch it. You'll see it.
We need Aishuk beard oil, Benny. Aishuk beard oil is next. I'm telling you.
And Chad, I've seen Chad in the moment with Leslie do these live at-home sales.
The shopping podcast.
Yeah, I saw what I got to review it again. He sent me all the links.
I bought shoes. I was because there in person. I bought shoes knowing that I was paying an upcharge and that money was going to go to Chad and Leslie. But I'm just like, I have to buy that. You should definitely do that. I'm telling you.
Chad has to be the sales host on that. It's coming soon. We're working on these things.
You're welcome. Unless that's an AI beard. Is that
that's not an AI beard.
But I do like the AI muscle idea. I'm gonna quit working out. Right. I'm gonna cancel my gym.
Click the plus button and it just kind of builds you up. Maybe I can use that for my hairline.
Right.
But think about it, you can probably create multiple commercials by giving your likeness, and people can be popping out commercials every day of you, and you're making $5,000 a day.
As long as they pay me, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe we create a website.
I was just going to say, getting paid the right amount for you and whatever your lifestyle, whatever your life is, allows you to serve other clients and customers in the best possible way. I don't think anybody wants to hire somebody who's constantly stressing out about finances and not able to dedicate the time it takes
for sure
to properly prepare and then execute whatever that job is. So pay people well so that they can not only treat you well, but so that when you call them again, and let's say next time you need a bit of a break, they'll probably give you a discount the next time. They'll probably maybe do more for you or help you out. It's the people and the relationships and the epic beards. That's what makes
that's right.
That's exactly. What makes it work.
That's a good one.
Well, let me review what we did. First of all, we went 1 hour 10 minutes, but it felt like 10 minutes. This was our longest and probably most entertaining episode, which I knew Jonathan would be a great guest and a lot of fun.
Thank you. I forget that I'm on the show. I feel like I'm just watching you guys being like, they're so great. Anyway.
You're just talking to the screen. So this is what we learned, though. We learned a lot. Jonathan, whether you realize it or not, you have the outline for a book here. This is what we learned. First of all, Jonathan's tips. Treat people right. That should go without saying, but it's so easy to not do that as soon as you're put in a position of power, right? You don't have to do that. You should do that. And it pays to do that in more ways than one. Number two, know your value. Don't undervalue yourself. Don't overvalue yourself where you price yourself out, but don't undercut yourself, because if they don't respect you at the time of negotiations, they'll never respect you. And frankly, the end product will be terrible anyway. Number three, make clear what your role is. Delineate what exactly you're supposed to do, deliver on it, meet those expectations, and exceed those expectations when you can, but make clear what it is and be within those parameters. We also said, well, what about if someone is just incessantly talking politics or some divisive issue? Jonathan said, you know what? Focus on the job at hand. Remind them to focus on the job at hand, which is brilliant, because some people get in their own way. No matter what side of the aisle they're on, it's not a topic that is productive, especially when you're trying to get business going, unless it's your business. So there's also, he gave us the acronym MRFY, which meant a lot of things. And frankly, I forget most of them. Except,
you want me to tell you? You want me to tell you?
Yes, give us the MRFY one more time.
Money's first.
Money.
That's right. Money.
Relationships.
Okay.
I actually had it written down for you. Because I created this right before the podcast. I'm like, how do I make these decisions?
Oh, you created that MRFY yourself.
Right before you sent me this link, I was like, how do I explain that feeling? And when I go through and look at these things, so money. Relationships, footage, fun, innovation, or enrichment.
We're going to name your book title MRFY Law.
Just MRFY there you go.
Law right yeah. there. I love that.
I used to think if I ever wrote a book, it would be called Not You, Jonathan, because when I was a kid in community theater, the director would yell like, everybody needs to be bigger, louder, bigger smiles. Not you, Jonathan. You know,
that's a good title. That's right. Well, we knew the M in MRFY, right, was not standing for math. We learned that early on. So you also
Do you see how brilliant he is? He pulls that back. God, that recall. Thank that's you, what you John. Call that in comedy. Brilliant.
Callback. That's right. Thank you. So also, Jonathan says, think of yourself as a problem solver. They are actually coming to you with a gap, and you are there to solve it. So you're not desperate for the position, but you're there. You're the answer. You are what they're looking for. Get that mindset, and it totally flips the script on how you are positioned. I love that. That was probably my favorite takeaway. Do what you say. Say what you'll do. Be clear about it. Act on it. And then also, I love this. My favorite quote possibly was that AI can't replace Chad's wit. Now, when we're making shorts of this, please extrapolate that part. And I want that to be, that should be it right there. It's a good teaser for our next episode.
And it's true, right? It's true.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it is true. When you hire these AIs, they are programmed. They can't go something extemporaneous in the moment and just throw it out there. And that is what a good host can provide. And that's what is engaging to people, the unexpected. AI can't do that. Only humans that, you know, are quick-witted are able to do that. So I love that. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us. We have to talk more after. I know we could go for 2 hours easily.
We could.
But we just need to have him on again, Benny. I think a monthly guest spot.
I think he needs his own show. That's what I think.
I mentioned
Let's
that
go.
To him.
Oh, I'm ready.
I have an idea where he would fit in well too, Benny, with certain shows too. So we'll discuss that also.
Let's discuss. I know you were looking for that. Yeah, let's do a Zoom meeting. Sure. A Zoom meeting.
Zoom, exactly.
Zoom owes me money now. Where's my money?
That's right.
Anyway, don't forget TikTok. TikTok, our new social media, YouTube competing app or video competing app, Rumble competing app. So go on TikTok, which is iShook.tv. We're just starting, and we're going to have a lot of programs for a lot of social media lights out there and a lot of the content creators. So don't forget about that.
We've got even more plugs, Benny. Okay, we've got, first of all, the iShook Daily blog. Check that out, iShook.com. We have TikTok. We have iShook.me. We have the AI solutions at iShook.ai and our social media community at iShook with integrated ChatGPT. Also on this podcast networks, we have Midnight Markets right here. Daniel Baldwin has a show. So a lot of great new content coming to the iShook Network, possibly the Jonathan McFadden show. Who knows what's up next down the pike? The fun thing of working with Benny, Jonathan, is every week he's got new ventures going on. He's juggling more things than I could even imagine. I love just jumping on the quick call with him. And he said, Chad, I'm doing this, 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 and this. I said, wow, I just took a walk with my dog this morning. So this is it's fascinating. But just remember this. I love this because we're ultimately about work-life balance. And as Benny said, for true balance, you must always strive to stay balanced. So that's what it is. Jonathan, thank you again. Jonathan McFadden, check him out, everybody. He'll be back on the network. Benny Rachmanov, the CEO of iShook. I'm Chad Nafusi. And until next time, stay curious and stay balanced. Thank you, everybody.